And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I'm Kevin, here alongside my sister, Mary.
What's up, everybody?
And we are continuing season 5 of The Office. And this week we're going to be doing episodes 17 and 18, Lecture Circuit Part 2, as well as Blood Drive.
Yes.
I forgot about Blood Drive temporarily. However, before we get into this week's episodes, Bear, why don't you tell everybody what we did last week?
All right, everybody. So last week, we covered Stress Relief Part 2. And in this episode, it's basically Michael finding out that he is the cause of everybody's stress, right? Mm. So he decides to get everybody's stress out. He's going to hold a roast of himself, not realizing that everybody's just going to go fucking hard on him.
They walloped him hard.
Yeah. And it wasn't like the, you know, oh, Pamela Anderson's tits are so big that you could do whatever in them. but I love you, Pam. Like, there wasn't that good ending. I was trying to remember, like, the roast from my childhood.
Yeah, that's the one you remembered? Not, like, Jeff Foxworthy or Dennis Leary?
No, Pamela Anderson.
Gotcha.
She has big tits.
Big tits.
Big titties.
All right.
But anyway.
Just say big tits for 5 seconds.
Big titties.
All right.
But anyway, so Michael gets upset and he doesn't show up the next day from work, and everybody's worried about him. He's wearing a turtleneck and a long pea coat in the park and throwing out slices of breads. And he comes back to the office and he realizes that basically he's just going to roast everybody else. And he literally goes down the line, boom roasted, boom roasted, boom roasted.
Yep.
And that's where we ended. And then we had Lecture Circuit Part 1. So because Michael is doing such a fantastic job with sales and his brand, David Wallace asked him to do a lecture in every other
branches, Northeast,
except for Nashua. Mm. Still raw there. And also back at the office, Jim and Dwight are now the party planning committee, and they forget Kelly's birthday, so they're throwing her a birthday. It looks horrendous. There's silver brown crap balloons. I just love the dynamic between Jim and Dwight.
It's
here,
awesome.
Though.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And then to end the episode, Pam and Michael decide, fuck it, we're going to Nashua.
Yep. It's a cliffhanger.
It is.
Which brings us to this week where we will hang off that cliff and climb back up.
Yes, we will.
So, episode 17, Lecture Circuit Part 2. We get no cold open. It's just a recap like Mary just gave us.
Basically.
Of the previous week. That's all. And we open up in the break room where Kevin is eating. In each hand, he has a popsicle and an ice cream cone. And because he didn't eat all of his lunch. And Angela enters like a ray of sunshine.
Yeah, she's
beaming,
really perky.
Smiling and all this other shit. And everyone's kind of weary at first. Like, wait.
Right? They're like, Angela, did you take anything?
And so she got a new cat. Princess Lady.
Princess Lady.
A $7,000 cat. And everybody's like, where'd you get that money? To which Creed says, I can get you a kid for that.
I love Meredith, though. Then she say something like, I gotta see that pussy.
Yeah, it's something like, along those
something
lines.
Very crude, very Meredith, which I love and relate
so
to.
It turns out that Angela sold a Hindi's engagement ring for her for $7,000 on eBay.
Yo, so fucked up.
Yeah, to take a, I don't know, maybe
listen, if he's in the wrong, keep that ring. Like, fuck it. But you cheated on him, made him duel for your heart, and then
turned to profit.
Yeah.
And the thing that kills me is I'm not an animal person. Like, I am not a pet person. I mean, I don't hate animals, although I'm not a cat fan. So, like, for me, if I'm, like, pawning off a piece of jewelry,
going for a trip. I'm buying a brand new, like, a newer car.
A mortgage payment.
Yeah.
I'm not buying a, like,
student loan debt.
Yeah. Like, I'm not buying a show cat.
No.
But Angela shows everybody. It's like Meredith, Creed, Oscar, and Kevin. She has a nanny cam set up in her parlor.
Yo.
And it's like all the cats, and she can watch them all day. And they're all kind of like, oh, that's weird.
But you have to remember, though, because there are things that you can, like, there are now gadgets that you can literally plug into the wall. And they have cams for your dog and apps that you can give them treats. This is before all
of this.
Yeah, this
is before pets became people, essentially. Like, that's like a development.
Well, to more people than just Angela.
That's a development of society that I'm not quite sure how I lean on.
Which is really funny because they use this as, like, a character flaw for Angela, and now it's, like...
It's normal.
I literally had a conversation with somebody the other night.
Look at you with your fucking Achilles here.
Well, that's just what I'm saying. I had a conversation with somebody the other night, and they're like, oh, we have 3 dogs. And I was like, oh, we just have Achilles. I'm like, you know, we decided to let him be the only child for a little while. And they're like, oh my God, only child. That's great.
And he acts
we
like
had
it.
An only child and then we had a two and she's still pissed off.
Yeah, you know,
Achilles. But like I had an only child conversation about my dog.
Achilles is a spoiled brat. It's almost like it's a little girl. Like Angelica on Rugrats.
Oh, absolutely.
It's almost to that extent.
I already told my husband. I was like, if we have like human children, like.
Human children as opposed to what other kind of children would you have?
My dog child.
It's not a child.
He's my human child.
He's 80 years old in human years. He's not a child.
But I said if we have human children, like, we can't ruin them like we ruin the dog.
He's ruined. He's horrible.
Oh, I know.
He's absolutely horrible.
I'm fully aware, but I love him
like
despite it.
I don't even know where to begin with this thing.
His attitude.
No, I want to say it like in Star Wars. This thing. But, so, after the Angela thing, we see Mike and Pam driving to New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Jim gets a cake. And Dwight is, like, he's putting it in the freezer. Dwight is interrogating and berating Kelly.
Oh, my God. Screaming at her. Poor thing.
As we remember last week, he found out she went to juvie.
Yeah, for a year.
Juvenile detention. And it turns out Kelly stole her ex-boyfriend's boat. It turns out to be his dad's.
Yeah.
And she spent a year in juvie. It was the worst year of her life.
And they're making her relive it on her birthday.
So Jim tells her he got her a cake, and she, like, lights up. But then he shows it to her and she hates it because it's blank. It has no theme or decorations.
I've literally never seen an ice cream cake with just white frosting.
That's all it was. It was so bland. It looked delicious.
Like, even the Carvel ones have like the rainbow, like stringy frosting around the
edges.
It'll
be like blue and pink or something like that. This one has no frills.
Nothing. It literally is white frosting around it.
And
that's it.
She asks Jim and Dwight what the theme is. And each of them answer at the same time. Jim says birthday and Dwight says frosting.
Those aren't themes.
That's so great.
Yo, but can I just say, I love how, like, Phyllis is always just creeping around in the background.
Yeah.
She's like, there's always a theme.
Did you ever see the Adult Swim that it came out, like, 5 years ago? Too Many Cooks?
No.
You never saw, it was, like, the 15-minute, it's, like, a 15-minute long video. It, like, spoofs, like, Family Matters, Step by Step, like, the 80s,
okay.
Like the entrance themes,
yeah,
where they like look at the camera and shit like that. But there's like this murderous guy who's like sneaking in the background, and eventually he like uses a machete and that. But like for like the first 5 minutes, he's just in the background lurking. That's Phyllis.
That's amazing.
Phyllis is the guy from Too Many Cooks. So Mike and Pam arrive at Nashua, and he goes in and asks reception if Holly Flax is there. But she turns out she's on an HR retreat, and he's directed to talk to AJ, one of the salesmen. Her BF.
Y'all.
Her boyfriend. And Mike gets that dejected look while Pam looks worried because she knows Mike's going to melt.
Oh, out. She knows. It's fucked now.
So cut to outside. Mike's sitting on a curb all upset and distraught. And Pam is like trying to talk to him. And she tries conveying how she felt when Jim was dating Karen.
Yeah.
And Mike's like, don't make it about you. Like, what's
this
he say?
This is actually serious. Like, he says something like just basically
dismissive,
like.
Dismissive, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Pam, this isn't even the same thing. Stop talking about your woman troubles, essentially.
So Pam just says, you know what? If you go in there and do a great job, everyone's going to tell her what a great job you did while you were here. And she'll be thinking of you.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Mike's, like, crying.
Yeah.
He's, like, really, like, upset. And he's just
they haven't really been broken up that long.
They weren't even together that long.
No, they weren't.
You know? It was, like, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Or I guess... Well, no, because the whole summer they just flirted.
The summer they flirted, yeah.
And then, like, they went on, like, 3 dates, and then Wallace found them kissing.
Yeah.
That's it. So, it seems a little extreme, but I get it, I guess, for Michael.
Yeah.
So, Oscar and Kevin are at their desks, and they hear a cat commotion. So, they go to Angela's desk, and they see the cam, and Angela's new cat is being humped relentlessly by another cat. And Angela comes over, she panics, and she goes, I'll be back in an hour! And she, like, runs to, like, go put an end to this. So Dwight and Jim are trying to come up with stuff for the party.
I just love it. Is this where he goes,
the
is
sign.
This how you are with Pam? God, I would want to shoot myself.
In the face. So Dwight makes what Jim declares as an effeminate sign.
Yes.
It's like a piece of pink cardstock with like, he put like stickers
like
on it.
Unicorn and rainbow stickers,
and
like a 10-year-old.
And he wrote in like purple like ink on it.
God.
It's like party push till 3. And Jim's just like, that's a very effeminate sign. Is that what you've been doing for like an hour? Because Dwight put more effort into that than any human relationship he's ever had at the office.
Anything.
So Mike starts his presentation at the Nashua office. They're all in the conference room. Good morning, Viet Nashua!
Robin Williams.
Then he goes into the Princess Bride. Sales!
fails is what brings us together today.
Which is the second time he's used that bit.
Yes.
He used that Phyllis Wing. And then, you know, Mike says, you know, raise your hand if you're in sales. And they all... And Mike goes, oh, yuck, salesman. That's what everybody thinks about you. And you can see he's, like, building up. Like, he's trying to contain it, but it's not working. He's being guided by his hatred. He's letting the dark side flow through
him. Yes, he is.
There's Palpatine in the other room, like, directing him. So he calls on AJ, Holly's boyfriend. And it just gets cringy. He's like, are you dating anyone? Is it serious? And the guy's like, why are you looking? Like,
why interested?
He has no idea what's going on, you know? And Michael just goes, does she ever talk about me? And then he just collapses into a heap on the floor.
But you know what, though? AJ's, like, I think we've discussed it before, that guy in the college course who thinks he's really fucking funny.
Well,
AJ's a douche. See, why? You interested?
I didn't get that vibe. I actually got the vibe of a guy who, let's be honest, the branches probably communicate.
Yeah.
And they know, like, Michael's making the rounds.
Yeah.
As if his reputation didn't precede him already. So, like, I almost felt like it was a defense mechanism. Like, this guy's going to bring the crazy.
Well, Nashville wasn't planned.
No, I know. But, like, they're probably like, this guy's going to bring the crazy. Yeah. I'm going to be ready and just, like, make jokes of him because he's so fucking
maybe.
Weird.
Maybe. Because I put down, I would have loved to have seen Will Arnett in that role.
Oh, he would have been perfect. Hey, what's going on?
Why are you looking?
What's going on, Michael? Hey. Every time I get sick, like when I get like a sinus infection, I sound just like in the Reese's commercials. Hey, you want Reese's? Yeah.
Hey, this is Will Arnett.
He did awesome as the Lego Batman, though.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. Didn't you see Lego?
I didn't see it, no.
I saw it through very weird circumstances. It wasn't planned that way, but I actually ended up enjoying it a lot.
I just love Will Arnett.
Yeah, well, I'm a big Will Arnett fan. I know our brother Oz is a big mark for Will Arnett, so... Yep. Yeah, he did the right thing and divorced Amy Poehler, because she's very serially unfunny. So I'm glad that the funny one got out of it. That's all I'm going to say about that.
That makes more sense why he was on Parks and Rec, though.
Oh, yeah, they were together. And they were together in Blades of Glory, remember?
They did
the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, my God. Holy shit, yes. Yeah,
I'm not thinking about that.
I've not thought about that for, like, at least 7 years.
I don't know if they... Well, now I'm thinking, did they do the assassination, or was it just Marilyn Monroe and JFK?
I don't know. All I remember is the pills going all over the ice.
It is fucking awesome.
God.
Oh, God. Okay. So
anyway, back on topic.
Michael collapses, and he's, like, in a heap, and he hands index cards to Pam.
Yeah.
And crawls out, like he's doing, like, a crawl.
He's doing
like,
an army crawl.
Like he's in actual Vietnam.
Yeah.
Like he's crawling out. So, I gotta save Bubba! You know? But, so Pam is, like, trying to save it, and she's dying as she's trying.
I really felt, I felt for Pam.
Like, she should have just been like, guys, we're going to take a 10-minute break. I'll be right back.
Yeah, like, I feel bad for her, but at the same time, she's really
terrible. She doesn't have to do it.
She's really
and
terrible.
She tries to do Michael's Forrest Gump impression. Which sales is like a box of chocolates.
You never know what vendor you're going to get.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It is
so
hard to watch.
Then we come back. And she's using Mike's mnemonic devices for names. Blazer, Freckles, Penguin, K.D. Lang. Oh. K.D. Lang is my favorite.
Yep.
Holly's boyfriend. And then she pulls out the chainsaw from last episode and just goes, I have a chainsaw! Cutting down sales. Oh, or what was it?
Yeah,
something like that.
Cutting down
the competition.
Prices. Yeah.
So we go back to Scranton. Oscar and Kevin hear Angela on the nanny cam and go back to the computer. Angela... She's hissing at the cats to communicate with them. It's like in Jurassic Park when or Jurassic World when what's his name? Chris Pratt, Owen Benjamin or whatever his name is. Where he's like he has like the clicky thing and shit like that. Like that's what she's doing, like they're fucking raptors.
But she's like
And she picks up Princess Lady and starts licking her.
Yo, straight up licking
like,
her.
Like bathing her with her tongue.
And like this... and I've seen on Facebook like the ads, like the memes I think. Where, like, you can put something in your mouth, like an apparatus in your mouth.
Oh, it's like, and has, it's like silicone tongue. Or something, yeah.
Yeah, and you can, like, do that to your cats to brush
just
them.
Just kill yourself. Just kill yourself. End
well,
it.
Again,
if
though,
it gets to that point, end
it brings the Oscar question. I don't want to know what the psychological issues have to be that bring just, you to lick a cat.
Yeah, you got issues. And, you know, if you're offended that I'm telling you to kill yourself, you shouldn't be listening to the show anyway. All right. Like, this is when, like, they have faces of concern, and Kevin just goes, this is getting weird.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a very absurd
it
like,
is.
Thing.
It's uncomfortable.
It is. She's licking the cat. So Michael is back in Nashua, as Pam is dying doing this thing.
She really is.
Michael goes to Holly's desk and cuts a sleeve off of her sweater.
The fuck?
And puts it into his pocket. That's kind of creepy. And then he moves her mouse and her wallpaper pops up. Ed Grimley. Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
What company does not have HR have a fucking password on its desktop?
Yeah, it just opens up.
HR of all places.
Yeah. And Michael like gets choked up when he sees it, which is just
he does.
A nice touch. And he sees a file on the desktop that says, Dear Michael.
Wah, wah, wah.
So he does what anybody would do. He puts in his zip drive and uploads it.
That he's carrying on him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's got like a keychain one. Because a nerd like Michael Scott would. You never know. You never know. You never know. So Angela returns to the office and Kevin and Oscar act normal, like they saw nothing.
She's like, was this on the whole time?
Yeah, and they're like, Kevin's excuse, I was looking at pictures of food. And she buys it because it sounds totally normal. So as she's sitting there, she coughs up a fur ball.
Oh my
and
God.
And Oscar is just disgusted.
I would be too. I would literally look at her and go, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's gnarly.
It
it's
is.
It's gross. So Mike and Pam are leaving the Nashua office. And Pam says, don't look up. So of course Mike looks up and they're all staring out the window. Like what freak show just left? Like a fucking, like seriously, yeah. Like a circus freak show. So they're eating at a diner and he tells her what he did. That he stole her document. And Pam tells him he can't read it. It's a, you know, but she
it's
can.
It's a personal letter.
But she can.
But she can.
So Michael runs out for his laptop. And now we go back to Scranton. Dwight and Jim are going over suggestions about what makes a good party. Beer. And Jim reads off what they came up with. Beer, fights to the death, blood pudding, football.
Cupcakes.
Mating and horse hunt.
Charades.
Oh, charades was also in there.
Horse hunting.
Horse hunting and mating are my favorites.
Dude.
So Jim asks him, like, what's a birthday that you remember that, like, meant a lot to you?
Ugh.
And Dwight starts describing his actual birth.
Mother bites the cord.
It's so gross.
Oh, my God.
So, like, Jim tells him a story about how his dad took him to the Natural History Museum when he was 7, and he got this cool toy triceratops. And Dwight, like, takes it, and he just goes,
aww.
That is the lamest dinosaur of all dinosaurs.
Do you know what dinosaur is best? Any other dinosaur other than Triceratops.
And you know what? As a kid who grew up watching Power Rangers, I tend to agree. Billy was the worst Power Ranger. Aww. And he was the Triceratops.
No, I would definitely say Billy.
Yeah, exactly. So he was the worst.
Oh my God, never mind. Yeah,
what are you
I'm
trying to say?
No, I'm an idiot.
Are you thinking of Zach?
No.
Racist?
No. No, because Zach did have the cool one.
He had the mastodon.
Yeah, I was thinking of Trini, but then Trini was pretty cool.
Yeah, Trini was awesome.
No, it definitely was.
She doesn't want to be racist. She doesn't want to talk about Trini sucking.
No, I'm saying Billy. I know. Billy was the worst because the Triceratops was just like a wide load. Like
yeah, it's just like yeah, and like pterodactyl.
Yeah,
that's awesome. A woolly mammoth, the T-Rex, and saber-toothed tiger is pretty awesome cat. As a guy who's not a cat person, it's pretty sweet cat.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
So.
Tommy, what? He didn't have like
Tommy,
a...
Yeah, Tommy had like a Megazord. It was the green one. It came out of the ocean.
Oh, that's
it was
right.
Like a, it was like another T-Rex.
Yeah. All right, sorry. Go
Tommy's
ahead.
An MMA fighter now.
I do know
he
that.
He challenged CM Punk to a fight.
Have you ever seen... He actually dresses up in a green Power Ranger outfit and like goes on his motorcycle and shit.
This sounds like a guy who peaked in high school and he's still hanging... He's still hanging around town. He's like, yo, kids, you want to see
that's my neighbor.
Yeah, you want to see some sweet fucking motorcycle trick? You want to see me do some donuts in this Dunkin' Donuts park? Yeah, do some donuts in this Dunkin' Donuts parking lot.
Do you like my scooter?
Yeah, you like my 19-year-old girlfriend?
Ew.
he's such a...
Ew.
Yeah, just imagine he's white trash now, but I digress.
Probably.
So Pam, back at the diner, reads and then deletes the letter that Holly wrote to Michael. And she tells Michael that Holly still has feelings for him. It's not over.
Which, I have to ask, Pamela,
yeah.
Fucking Beasley, did you look at the date? Because we don't know how long it's really been since they broke up. She could have written that letter the week that she got there.
And this is why, like...
It's just causing mayhem, Pam.
Well, it comes into my mind when I saw this scene. Do you remember in The Dark Knight when Rachel wrote the letter for Bruce?
Yep.
And then Alfred burned it before Bruce saw it?
Yep.
Like, maybe Pam's doing that. Like, I'm going to give him some hope and relieve it because he's, like, so distraught. You know, maybe it's like he doesn't need to know.
Yeah, I guess.
But again, I don't know how this turns out. You do. So that's just my, like, the... feeling I got from it is that Pam was just trying to make him feel better because it's not like she was beaming after she said it or anything, she kind of said it deadpan. Dead Pam. Anyway, so it's Kelly's birthday now, and they, Jim, who feared misspelling her name the entire episode, misspelled her name.
Oh, my God.
He put an E in Kelly.
Which, like, literally, she has a nameplate at her desk.
Yeah, I know. And Dwight did go through her personal file.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. But it's just, like, Happy B-Day Kelly.
Oh, my God.
With a chiclet in the middle. But they tell her that's the theme. It's either a pillow or a television. So you have an hour to either nap or watch TV on the job. And she, like, loves it. She's like, oh, my God, this is the greatest. Oh, my God, I want to take a nap. So Dwight and Jim high five in success. And Dwight kicks everyone out to eat cake at their desks. And Jim gives her a blanket and pillow. And she sleeps under the conference desk.
Oh, God.
So then, like, outside, Dwight loves the cake. He gives
props
to Jim.
Well, I love why Kelly chose the nap, though.
Why?
She goes, I've been watching TV all week, so I picked the nap.
And that's another. Kevin's like, watching TV at work is awesome.
Yeah, and Stanley's like, there's nothing on. And then Creed goes, Bonnie Hunt is on.
Bonnie Hunt, 3 p.m. That was the talk show. But yeah, everybody obviously watches TV at work.
Apparently.
So then he comes back an hour later. He wakes her up with trash lids and slaps her on the ass as she's going out the door.
Right?
Which seemed extremely uncharacteristic.
Yes.
Dwight. Like, that made no sense with the character.
That
I don't know
threw
if that
me
was,
off so hard.
I don't know if that was, like, a rib between Rainn Wilson and her.
Maybe.
Because that was, like, so unlike Dwight.
Yeah.
So it caught me off guard when I saw that.
Right?
But she just, like, eek! Yeah. She likes it.
Can I just say, though, like, this party is literally shown, like, it's, like, stereotypical, like, man, like, oh, I guess I have to do something, so I'm going to try the bare minimum.
But it works. It always comes out. It always turns up Milhouse.
Apparently. Happy B-Day. They couldn't even spell out birthday.
That's how I do it on social media.
Christ
Happy B-Day. I don't try. Why should you try? Come on.
They're the party planning committee.
Just get you, they didn't want to be, though. It was foisted
upon
them.
It's not Kelly's fault.
So,
but anyway, closing.
It wasn't my fault. Michael is happy to have closure as they drive. Pam says he should apologize to the fat guy from Stanford.
Mm-mm.
Oh, no, Michael says that. I'm sorry.
No, Michael says, I love having closure. We should go apologize to Roy.
That's it. Okay, I got that confused. And then she's like, no. Like, no.
No, we do not need to apologize.
And he says
Roy.
He should apologize to the fat guy from Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
Jabba the Hutt, Pizza the Hutt, fat guys love pizza, pepperoni Tony.
Yep.
He uses mnemonic.
I love Pizza the Hutt that he got a shout out of.
Oh, yeah. Spaceballs, baby. And then Michael just spends like a minute calling him fat over and over again.
Yeah, he's like, no, I know myself. I wouldn't be able to do it as soon as I saw him.
He's fat.
He's fat. Too fat.
Fat.
Fatty, fatty.
She's too fat for me.
Oi!
So what, what did you give this one, Bear?
I gave this one a 4.3. So I do realize that I gave Lecture Circuit Part 1 4.4.
Yes.
And I did find it equally as funny. I loved Angela with the cats, that weirdness.
Yeah,
that
was
loved
nice, yeah.
The Jim and Dwight, like, mm-hmm. combo. I really did not like Pam reading the letter.
Yeah, that was it's odd in a few ways. It's,
mm-hmm.
That she would do it because usually she tries to present herself
as
this,
be like a moral
goody
high
two shoes,
yeah,
basically. And like the whole okay, so the Nashua stuff was okay. It was cringy
mm-hmm.
to say the least with the AJ stuff.
Yeah.
Pam trying to pick up the mantle was just sad.
Yeah.
No charisma.
I wouldn't say that. I just. It's the jokes as Michael does them, like, you know that he knows the source material and that's what he's trying to replicate.
Mm-hmm.
Pam, she's trying to replicate Michael replicating source material, so that's why it just falls
flat.
It's
like a third generation VHS tape.
Yes.
And but, like, I gave it a 3.8.
Okay.
I thought it was good. I thought it was funny. There was just, like, there's just something missing about it. And, like, Michael was creepy. Because, like, what's he going to do with that sleeve? Huh?
Oh, God.
It was only about 6 inches
apart. Oh, my God. It only goes up to the elbow.
But, like, it's just, I don't know. Like, it was just, I say this sometimes, and I guess I keep saying it because I don't know any other way to convey it, is that it's just missing something. It's just missing an extra punch. Like, it was funny.
Yeah.
It moved several stories along.
Yeah.
I love Dwight and Jim working together.
Their dynamic is amazing.
It's great because the characters are so diametrically opposed, but they work when they're going towards a common goal.
Yeah.
Like, Jim is just as exasperated as Dwight with Kelly. Yeah. But whereas Dwight's like, idiot, what do you want for...
He's yelling kind of at her.
What do you want, imbecile? Yeah. Like, Jim doesn't go that far.
No.
But, like, you could tell he wants to.
He Dwight, wants to.
Jim is the ego, Dwight is the id, essentially. You know what I mean?
Well, I love how, like, after Dwight yelled at Jim about the cake, he's like, fine, next time you can get the cake and I'll get to yell at the birthday girl.
Yeah, like, they're sniping at each other like a married couple.
Yes.
And it's entertaining.
Da-na-da-na-da-na.
Oh, yeah. There's a reason the Odd Couple is still an amazing show. But... I guess there's not much else I want to talk about. The Angela stuff is weird, but in a way that I find endearing.
Yes.
It's gross, well, and it's horrible.
I also love that, like, she has so many cats.
I like the fact that she is the butt of their jokes. In yes. A way. Like, because she always presents herself as the judgmental, bitchy one.
Yes.
And then, now everybody's like... Everybody, look at her.
Now, Oscar and Kevin know something they can't unknow.
Yeah, everybody, it started with the whole fucking Dwight thing behind Andy's back, and Now they got this ammo. So, like, they don't take her as seriously as they once did.
Nope.
Like, they're, like, the kind of people, like, you have that one friend who you know, like, when they, like, are set off. You know, like, you could press the buttons, but you'd rather than just them shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they deal with her most of the time, although they do have the capability to press buttons.
God, I know somebody like that.
I would say
they're related to us, but not a sibling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll keep this. Okay, we're going to talk about this off air.
Hey-o!
Is there anything you want to add to this episode, Bear?
To this episode, no. I think I covered all the points I liked. Yo, hashtag Pizza the Hut.
Pizza.
So, I still love that.
Okay. So that covers that episode. We gave it pretty fairly high marks, I'd say.
Absolutely.
I mean, the 4.3 and the 3.8, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Listen, this season is shaping up to be probably my highest rank.
Probably the best, yeah. Because when I'm looking at it...
I'm giving a lot of fours.
This next episode, I don't know, though.
We'll have to see. So, guys, right after this, we'll be covering Season 5, Episode 18, Blood Drive.
And we're back.
Hey, everybody.
So, this is the part of the show where we put ourselves over, but before we do that, if you are listening to us on the Ginny Position feed, it's because that is our new home for syndication, if you will.
Yes, we are.
And, I want to thank Jennifer Smith for liking our show enough to invite us over and have us. And I also want to thank Place to Be Nation for housing us for 7 months or so.
Yeah.
And giving us exposure to many new listeners.
You guys put up with us a lot longer than I expected you to.
Yes, because it's a lot of bullshit. But you guys put up with us, you promoted us, you got us some new listeners, and we are eternally thankful for all of the help and exposure that we got through Place to Be Nation. And I'm still doing the listening to a bunch of podcasts, doing the polls, the sports logo poll that's going on now. So I want to give some dap to them and thank them for everything over the past over half a year now.
Yeah.
And I also want to thank Jennifer Smith for allowing us on the Ginny Position feed, which you should listen to as well and subscribe.
It's a lot of good stuff over here, too.
Yeah, subscribe today. Also, Mary, tell them about us.
Well, guys, in case you're new to listening to us on the Ginny Position, we like to keep in contact with our listeners via Twitter. You can reach out to us at BroSisPodcast. We always like to post fun, our favorite screen grabs from each week's episodes over there. So we like to keep it funky and fresh and light over there. So again, that's BroSisPodcast. We love interacting with you guys over there. But if you don't have a Twitter and you still want to reach out to us, interact, you can always email us at brothersisterrewatch, all one word, at gmail.com.
Yay.
We'll read your information.
Send us your social security number, your home address, and a list of your fears.
Exactly. A list of fears does sound
fun. That's huge.
But no, if you guys want, we can read your feedback live on the air. We always love to
interact.
Yeah, we love to hear what you guys think about the show.
In the beginning, we got a lot of emails. It's kind of, it worked backwards. The more content we put out, and the more listens we got, the less feedback we got.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I don't know if we're doing really well and everybody loves content, or if you're like, oh, I don't want to listen to you anymore. I'm not even going to bother trying to help you.
Not even
going to
waste my time. So you can reach out to us on Twitter or email. Twitter, unfortunately, we lost a lot of content recently due to the closure of the XFL.
Yeah.
Huge. I liked posting about the XFL. I'm a big fan. But
huge.
Huge. So, now that's out of the way. Yes. Mayor Bear, we are on episode 18 of season 5, Blood Drive. And you're taking
I am.
She's dancing.
Okay. So earlier today, I watched a video of Vince McMahon from the 80s.
Oh, he yeah. Was it suit. The stand back when he sang?
Yes. And he had the dancers around
him. Yeah, and Macho Man on the trumpet.
Was, how he was just moving and like walking up. And he, guys, you can't see it.
Why were you watching the stand back video?
One of our followers posted it.
Oh, God,
and I was watching
so awesome.
It was a lot of fun and it jazzed me up really a lot, so
it's one of my favorite things that ever came
out
of professional wrestling.
If that is hashtag big dick energy, if I've ever seen it.
Oh yeah.
Like Vince McMahon doing that is hashtag.
There's
big
so
dick
much
energy.
I love about that. Like Vince is singing, his dancing, Hulk Hogan on doing a bass solo. You got Macho Man, Jake the Snake, and Bruce Beefcake faking playing trumpets. George the Animal Steel has like a fucking triangle. It's fucking madness. It's great.
It's amazing.
It's everything that's great and that I loved about pro wrestling as a kid. It's so great.
So that's why I was getting jazzed up for Valentine's Day in Blood Drive. So I'm going to get started. Our cold open. Pam is sitting at her desk. A phone system salesman arrives. But basically Pam's like, yeah, the phone system will take my job. So I basically just like thwart him every time he comes in. So he's like, oh, let me make an appointment. So that's when Pam does like the weird twin thing with Jim.
Yeah.
And Jim comes up to pretend to be Michael to get this guy out of his hair. And Michael then walks out and he's like, hi, what can I do for you? And Jim does the most Michael thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He literally does like a matrix bend at the knee and just goes, hey,
Jimbo. He calls Mike Jimbo.
He does. And Michael's like confused, but he's really enjoying
it. Do you know what his face reminded me of? Is when Holly did the Yoda impression.
Yeah.
And his face he does that same face where he's like, huh? He like lights up with joy.
He's like, oh my God, another like me. Yeah. Yes. And that's what he does. And then Pam's like, hey, and they literally just keep doing
A Fonzie convention breaks out, and Dwight gets involved.
Dwight runs up, and he's like, hey!
And they all just like thrust their crotch and go, hey, at the salesman.
And the salesman's like, never mind, and he just, like, he looks so disturbed, and he just leaves. And that's our cold open.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was nice, fun, and funny.
I liked it. Big thumbs up.
Yes, quick, funny, and fun.
Yes.
So, it's Valentine's Day. There's a blood drive van outside of the office for the business park. Michael and Kevin, they're now both single and miserable. And they're like, oh, really shoving our face in it this year, huh, Kev? We find out that it's been 4 months since Michael and Holly broke up. So, I mean, yeah, 3 months, like, she got a boyfriend, like, in the last episode.
She moved quick.
But, yeah, AJ's like, yeah, it's pretty serious, like. Granted, like, the older you get, the quicker things become serious, I guess.
I don't know.
But
can you honestly say that in your position in life and what you've experienced?
No, I mean, like, relationships. Like,
I think they tend to go slower.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because these people...
Scott and I were together for 10 years, or well, 9 years we got married.
That was just before you got married. You guys were pretty serious early on.
Yeah.
I'm saying as an older person, you're like, I've been through shit. I'm going to have some fun, you know? Like,
I guess.
That's how it works.
I don't know, because
I
like,
see
the
those
people
silver
that,
singles ads on TV and ourtime.com and all that.
The people that I know that like started dating somebody after age 25, like
first
where
of all,
they
that,
dated somebody. No, but listen.
These people are like 45.
That's but that's what I'm saying. But like after age 27, we'll say.
Wow.
They'll be dating
that one up.
They'll be dating people for like 2 years and they're engaged. Meanwhile, they dated somebody for like 8 years until they were 23 and it was never like marriage was never considered a thing.
I don't think people in their teens do that.
Okay.
I'm just saying. It's like OJ ends his Twitter rants. I'm just saying.
Have a good day.
By the way,
everybody.
I don't know if you've seen his Twitter recently.
No, I don't follow him on Twitter.
Well, we're going to start following him on the joint account because he is out there golfing with like a mask on and shit.
No, he's not.
He's like, hey, Twitter world, it's yours truly. And
he
goes on this thing. He's like, I'm golfing with some guys from Washington today, so I'm taking precautions. He's
Jesus
wearing
Christ.
A mask.
Yo, can we just like shout out to West Virginia? Because at time of this, the date that we're recording this is the only state that has not had a COVID-19 case.
Yeah, we're recording on Steve Austin's holiday, 3/16.
We had to,
yes.
Guys. This is how we celebrate privately.
Yeah, we observe privately. And, that's the thing. It's like West Virginia, those that mountain air, man.
I guess.
Ever been to West Virginia?
I think I've driven through West Virginia.
Okay. I stayed a week there once,
And is that when you hit the body?
The body. It was awesome. It was awesome because everybody down there is so friendly because they're just like, oh, there's fucking Yankee coming down here, ding, dang, do, you know? And but, like, they're really friendly. Like, there's this one place, you know, people probably don't care to hear about my exploits through West Virginia.
Nope.
But allow me to just say it's a beautiful place. All right. The people are kind, and they don't all live in coal shacks.
All right.
There are some houses there.
Good to know. Good to know. Everybody has a very poor image of West Virginia, so I'm glad to see they have one advocate.
Listen, as a family that has a lot of family roots in Kentucky, we have no room to talk. Like, we come from hill people. Yes. You know, like,
many years ago.
When I shit all over West Virginia, it's out of a place of love. Like, I love banjos. The sound of a banjo gets me going.
Ring, 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 ring.
Not that song, but yes. Yes.
All right. So anyway, Michael and Kevin walk up to the office from the elevator, which is covered in hearts.
Yes.
And Jim and Pam are up at the desk, like,
doing their Jim and Pam shit. Yeah.
And we find out that this is their first and only Valentine's Day as fiancés. Apparently, they already have a date picked.
Yep.
And Jim goes, you're only engaged once, present company excluded.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I like that he can, like, rib her about it. But then Kelly's like, oh, I got a secret admirer. It's the dentist.
It's a dentist appointment.
And then Michael walks up to Pam and he's like, Pam, really? Really? And he moves her flowers to the ground.
Yeah.
Because he's basically like, oh, nobody else wants to see this, Pam.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. So she moves everything back up, or she moves the flowers back up to her desk. And Michael comes out and he's like, listen, everybody's single and experiencing pain. And Michael's like, listen, the sexy looks between you two. He's talking to Jim now. Yeah. And, you know, you guys are creating hostile work environment.
The smoldering sexual charisma.
Yeah, and Pam's like, you cannot be in a relationship, Michael. And he's like, fine, we're going to have a Lonely Hearts convention, singles only. And Jim's like, all right, sounds good. Enjoy. So Michael goes down to the blood drive, and we see Dwight down there, and she's like, I can't find a vein. Apparently he taught his blood vessels to retract into his body on command. Mm-hmm. And he also trained his penis to invert into itself.
His penis is essentially a turtle.
I mean...
Yeah, it goes into his body. He sucks it into his body.
That's so strange.
Well, the way he, like, demonstrates, he's like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, like it's kind of like a woman doing Kegels.
He,
like,
gets a shimmer.
Oh, am I doing Kegels right now?
What's a Kegel? Wait. I just totally had a brain fart. I've heard of it like a million times.
Yeah, they're exercises to strengthen your pelvic floor.
That's right. Okay. I totally had a brain fart there. And first of all, I was thinking of cudgels, like a giant club.
Oh my God.
I was like, a club? What? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So anyway, Michael is donating blood and he sees, like, there's a nice lady next to him and she's like chit-chatting. She's like, I'm sorry. I can't talk when I'm nervous. And, like, they're flirting back and forth. And Michael's like, oh, it looks like Hawaiian blood punch. Oh, type ocean spray. And, you know, they're flirting. It's cute.
She's, like, into it.
Yeah. And then we go up, and Phyllis then invites Pam and Jim to have lunch with her and Bob. She says that they'll take the whole afternoon because Michael's terrified of Bob. Which I understand. I
totally get it. Yeah. After the wedding episode, I totally get
it. So now we're back down in the blood donation van, and Michael's like, oh, I looked at the bag, and the lady calls him cute. And Michael, the only way I can describe it is he gets starry-eyed.
Yeah. Like, what?
Huh? Somebody likes me? She said I was cute. I'm cute.
Yeah,
I'm cute.
He turns into Rudolph. Shit.
So then the lady's like, all right, Michael, you're done. And he goes, oh, I was so nervous about this. I didn't eat for 3 days. And then he just passes out.
Just blacks out.
And when he wakes up, the woman is gone, but she left her glove. And he takes the glove, and the lady will not give him her name.
Yeah.
So then we see Meredith and Kelly. They're ripping Valentine's Day decorations in half and to decorate their Lonely Hearts Club. And then at lunch, Bob is going on about how much he hates Michael, how he can't understand how you work for that jackass or the other jackass. Or the new jackass. And Phyllis goes, oh, he's talking about Michael, Dwight, and Andy. Shocker.
Yeah, big shock.
So now we're at the singles party, and it's Michael, Meredith, Angela, Oscar, Kelly, Creed, and Kevin sitting in a a circle, and
Michael's, it's like a grief counseling session.
Really, it is. Like that, it's like a 12-step meeting. And Michael's like, "Oh, let's talk about the relationships that, like, the worst relationships we've ever been in." And then Michael, in a Mexican accent, goes, "Relationships? We don't need no stinking relationships."
Second Mel Brooks.
Reference.
Yeah, that's right, because Jet Pizza the Hut. Yeah.
Yeah. Second one this episode, dude. Yes. I'm enjoying this. But so then that's when Michael's like, "Let's discuss our worst relationship ever." And everybody's like going around, and then Angela's like, "Well, I had two men duel over me." And they're like, "Yeah, when we were here, like Dwight and Andy." And she's like, "No, this is when I was living in Ohio. Do you remember the names of the men? John Mark and John David." That sounds so Ohio.
Well, the thing is, like, I know Ohio has a sizable Amish community, and knowing Dwight and the way she dresses a colonial doll.
Oh my God, I didn't even connect that.
Oh yeah, I'm thinking there's like John Mark and John David sound like Amish names. I'm just saying.
Jesus, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. Then Michael, pointing out why Andy's not in this episode, he's on one of his honeymoons.
One of.
Because he put non-refundable deposits down on all of them, so he's just knocking them out one by one. He's hot air ballooning, I believe, today, and then getting a couple's massage. And Angela's just like, "Oh, yeah. Sucks.
Oh, bummer. Sucks for him. I love my cat."
So now Michael decides to throw a singles mixer for the business park, and he discusses how he wants to be hit by Cupid's sparrow.
Oh, he's such
a cute little bird.
It's not even, that one's like, that one's a stretch.
That,
like,
was hard.
That he's that stupid. That one's a bit of a reach.
Yeah, that one was difficult to digest.
Also, before that, Kevin's story about breaking up his fiance, ending it with him, where he said, "I was reading the newspaper, and I said, I think the Eagles could win the NFC East. And she said, we're done." So cutthroat. Oh, God.
So now we're standing there waiting for people to arrive to the mixer. And Dwight is standing weird, and he goes, "What's wrong with you?" And he goes, "Feel lopsided from all the blood they took out of my right side." Which, I just love that Dwight thinks that the blood is only per side.
It doesn't circulate.
No. Now, two women show up. There's a larger, taller woman, and a more petite, blonde woman. Mm-hmm. And the larger woman, Michael takes to introduce to Kevin, of course. And Dwight takes the more petite woman, and he uses it as a sales opportunity once he hears that she works at a catalog place.
Oh, yeah.
He made an audible moan.
Yeah, like, this guttural, like, I think his penis contracted or retracted.
Intracted?
No, it retracted.
Retracted.
Retractable roof. Oh, wait, is it contracted means smaller.
But retracted means goes
bring
in
back
there.
In. So extended.
Yes. Extends.
Yes. Well,
remember when like it was Jimmy Johnson sold in gas stations?
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson did the commercial where he got, "I do."
Oh,
and then
God.
Like, they said he had a Pangea-sized penis.
Oh, my God. So anyway, we go to lunch. And, you know, like, we saw, like, a clip earlier. Like, they're
they get along,
a conversation.
Like, it's like two couples on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah.
Talking and getting along nicely.
Yeah.
Like, that's all.
So now the food is there, and Bob ordered what looked to be a mouth-watering steak.
Delicious.
Phyllis got some kind of pasta, and Pam and Jim got salads.
It's keto.
Which, no, salads are delicious, but, like, it's Valentine's Day. Treat yourself.
Especially if Bob's eating that steak, man.
Yeah. Like, treat yourself. But then again, Pam does need to fit into that dress.
Nah, so. Pam strikes me as the kind of woman who eats like a rabbit. Aww. Like carrot sticks for lunch. Maybe a half of a PB&J. Like, she doesn't strike you as someone
who,
like...
She is tiny.
She doesn't strike you as someone who eats Cheetos, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, like, goes ham and it's like, "Oh, I'll have, like, that leg of mutton." You know, you don't see Pam Beasley doing that.
I
see Phyllis
do that.
Doing that.
Well, Phyllis got what looked to be a delicious pasta meal. But anyway... but Phyllis and Bob are in the bathroom, so they're trying to figure out, like, you know,
do we wait for them?
Yeah, like,
what's protocol?
And they said, "Well, if you ordered hot foods, you can eat," but they both got salads.
Lame.
Wah, wah, wah. But they decide they're going to eat some of Bob's fries that came with his steak.
Such assholes.
Right?
Why didn't you just order fucking French fries?
Right. So now Kevin is talking about the Circle Drive-In and how they show old movies, which is an actual place, guys.
And they actually show old movies. For those of you
like not from around the Scranton area, which I think we have like one listener in the Scranton area, so the majority of you, there is actually a Circle Drive-In that does show old movies from time to time. And but then he brings up his ex-fiancée, Stacy, about how she broke up with him. But then he's like, but I left her. But no, she really left me.
And then he just gets dejected and leaves.
Yeah. Like, and the lady didn't even say anything.
Yeah, she says two words this whole episode.
Michael is trying to introduce this guy to Meredith. And he's like, oh, you said you're in tool and die repair, right? And he's like, yes, I did. And he goes, well, Meredith had a total hysterectomy. That's sort of a repair. And then he just walks away.
So awesome.
Which, what is tool and die?
That's like, if I'm not mistaken, it's like nuts and bolts and screws, like kind of stuff like that. I think that's what it is. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So now Michael is still waiting by the door for this glove woman. And Dwight calls him out, like, why are you watching the door?
Is somebody after you?
Yeah. Nobody is after us. Nobody's ever been after us, is what Oscar says. And Michael explains about the lady in the blood bus, which is what I'm going to refer to it from now on.
I like it. I like it.
And he's like, I think our blood bags touched. And Kelly's like, oh my God, that's so romantic. And I love how he's like, she might be my soulmate. And Dwight goes, there's 3 billion women on the planet. Most of them are in Asia. The numbers just don't add up.
He throws cold water all over it.
Wow. So now we're back, and Jim and Pam, they ate, like, almost all of Bob's fries. I'd be pissed.
Devoured them.
Like, eat the fucking broccoli. You wanted a salad, eat the broccoli. That's healthy.
So healthy.
But they're like, dude, they've been gone forever. And so they go and they check the bathrooms. And Pam and Jim are both like, nobody's in there. Did they dine and dash? Then they check the handicap bathroom.
Yes.
And they hear some guttural moans. Which, yo, go Phyllis and Bob.
Yeah.
Get on with your bad
Public
selves.
Sex. Yeah, go, guys.
No, that they, like, they are so in love with each other, they cannot keep their hands
That's
off
That's not a
each
loving
other.
Thing. That's a lustful thing. It's different.
But still,
it's disgusting. It's a public toilet.
Oh, yeah. It's gross as all fuck.
It's a public toilet.
But, you know, they still got the hots for each other.
Okay, that's nice and all, but the public toilet.
Yeah, the public restroom is disgusting.
I can't get over that.
People shit in there.
That's like a handicap stall, too.
Yeah.
Like, there could be shit on the floor. You don't know, man. It's gross. As somebody who worked retail and had to clean the women's bathroom.
Dude, somebody shit in a fitting room, okay? Let's not even go into the bathroom.
It was never, the thing is, it was never the men's room. I never had to go in there.
Always the women's room.
It was always the women's room. And it's like, women can't shit straight. Or they don't want to touch the seat, so they just brace themselves.
Hover.
No, they brace themselves in the fucking stall doorway and just fire at the wall.
Oh my
I've had to mop walls when I was a kid. I had to take a ceiling tile down.
Yeah, you did.
Because they're like chips. Ah, 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 just tossing shit at the ceiling.
Oh my God.
Like, fucking
hey guys,
tampons everywhere.
If you
want to
hear more of the retail shit horror stories, hit us up on Twitter at Brosis Podcast.
Yeah,
we'll be more than happy to help y'all out.
We might do a special show where we just talk about our retail horror stories. Because like high school and college doing that job was like the fucking worst.
Yeah, it was. Don't regret ever quitting.
People shitting in the aisles. Like,
yeah.
You know, they're talking about all this shit with the, you know, the corona thing and how everybody's like, no,
people in the early 2000s didn't give a flying fuck.
People have always been fucking animals.
Yeah.
Like, that's the long and short of it.
So anyway, back to this. So Pam and Jim go back to the table, very shook.
Shooketh.
And then Phyllis and Bob show back up.
Oh, God.
Dude, their hair is messed up. Phyllis is chugging water.
They're
out of breath.
They're fucking red.
They're ravenous.
They look like tomatoes.
Yo, it's the best thing I've seen ever. Ugh. And Pam and Jim just look like... Like, they look like the kids.
Yeah.
And their parents just did that in public.
They look like they smell the sex wafting off of them.
And they're like, so, what were we talking about? And Phyllis is just like, stops chugging her water. She's like, bowling! She starts chugging her water again. It's great TV.
It is. It's funny.
I love it.
It's probably the highlight of this episode.
Oh, my God. So now, Kevin, he goes and he shoots his shot again. Good for him. He's like, I'm nervous talking to pretty girls. And you're a pretty girl, and I just don't know what to say to you. Are you on email?
I love that phrase.
And the lady's like, yeah. She gives him his card, and Kevin takes it as a win. Like, go you. Now, Dwight is still trying to sell paper to this poor woman who just showed up to a singles mixer and is getting a sales pitch. And she's like, listen, like, we have a paper supplier. And he literally goes, thanks for wasting my time, idiot. And Michael literally goes, you don't deserve her. And he goes, thanks, Michael. Like,
he said the same thing to Kevin a few episodes ago. Or mm-hmm. maybe it was the episode Stacy broke up with mm-hmm. him. Yeah.
And so everybody, like, Michael's still waiting for Glove Girl. And everybody's willing to wait with him.
They feel bad for him that yeah. he's there alone.
And so they're, like, all hanging out. And then a little while later, it shows them all cleaning up. That red velvet cake looked really good, too, by the way.
All right.
I'm a red velvet cake fan, though.
I'm not a cake guy. I'm more of a pie person.
It's because you hail Satan.
No, fuck it. Pie is... I love pie. I would take pie over cake. I would take eclairs. They're my favorite.
Eclairs are great.
Brownies over cake.
No, brownies are bad.
See, so you're starting to come to my side now. You're just like, oh, fuck yeah, banging. No, yeah,
everything's
brownies.
Good. I'm just saying everything's good.
I love it. I'm so fucking keto. Ooh, brownies and pie and
I'm not
cake.
Saying that they're not good. They're just not good for you,
dude. You're a cobbler whore.
They taste delicious, all right. But they're terrible for you.
Pie Nazi.
But I don't ever chastise anybody for eating the things they want to eat.
You're a cobbler whore.
I'm not
whore.
Like our dad.
Oh, he's, yeah. He's
yo, I ordered a stromboli at dinner the other day, and he looked at me and he goes, it's a lot of dough in there. What are you going to do with it? And I go, I'm going to eat all of it, Dad.
What are you going to do with it?
Right? And then I find out he ordered a fucking stromboli, too.
Yeah, he's...
So I look at him and I go, it's a lot of dough, Dad. What are you going to do with it all?
Like... Please tell me you made, like, a funny, like, Pillsbury joke or something.
No.
Or something about him being Mr. Stapoff.
No, I didn't. We had other company there, so I didn't want to go too raw.
Raw. Uncooked, uncensored, yeah.
Mare Bear, uncensored.
That'll be a Patreon show one day.
There, oh my god.
Yes.
So anyway, back to the episode. So they're finally cleaning up and they're like, Michael, you can't wait anymore. Like, she's not showing up.
Yeah, it's like 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah, they're like, we'll all leave together. And they do. And I think Michael's like, I'm ready to get back out there.
Yeah, it's like... This is like, I feel like this is the third episode we've had with Michael where he
I'm
came
ready to
this.
Get hurt again.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, okay.
So now our last little scene is Stanley walking onto the blood donation bus.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, I need a cookie. I'm still so woozy from giving blood earlier. And she's like, of course. Oh, you have a cotton ball and tape. We've been using Band-Aids all day. And he, like, stumbles back down the steps. And he's like, oh, I'm just so woozy. And you see Phyllis walking up to the bus. And he goes... Band-Aids. And she goes, Jesus. And they were just basically attempting to get a free cookie without donating. And then you see Creed walk off with like 3 blood bags in his coat.
He's got the blood coming out of his pocket.
My God. And that's how we end the episode. Creed stealing human blood.
Good shit.
I gave it a 4.0. I said it was enjoyable. I said that Phyllis and Bob are hashtag goals. Maybe not sex in a public restroom.
No, they, as long as you keep the spark alive, keep the magic.
Exactly.
Keep the magic in the marriage.
Exactly.
I gave it a 3.2 because I kind of alluded to it a few minutes ago when I said, like, it's like the third time this episode's happened with Michael. It's like no new ground is covered, essentially. And I don't think there was a third... There wasn't a third storyline on this, right? It was just Jim and Pam with them. And then Michael doing his thing, right? That's pretty much all I got out of this. There was no Andy, which was nice. No Andy was nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one just kind of... It was another one where it was just lacking something.
I still enjoyed it, though.
It was good. Like, it was above average. I gave it 3.2. It's above average. It's funny.
Made me giggle.
But I don't know. There's just something about it. And I can't put my finger on it. Like, the hysterectomy line killed me. That was one that got a legit LOL out of me.
It's kind of a repair.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because it was, like, the premise of the show is built on, like, sadness.
Yeah.
And when, like, that's the foundation is everybody being single and alone and sad. It's like you can work your way up. But when that's, like, the baseline for it, it kind of stunts you with how far you can go with it.
Yeah.
So, it never blew me away or anything like that. I did like I said, the Phyllis Bob stuff was entertaining. Bob Vance's voice is just so manly.
So, anyway.
Hey, Jim. Yeah.
I don't know how you work with that jackass. It's the other jackass.
It's gravel nasal is how I would describe his voice.
Yeah, but forceful.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's very forceful. Yeah. But, yeah, so, overall, it's an above average episode. I really don't know if there's anything I'd need to talk about here.
Like, I mean, I think we covered it all.
Yeah, because again, it's one that doesn't have long lasting implications or anything like that. It was just Bob and Phyllis are freaks.
Yeah.
And then Michael again falls in love with a stranger and hopes they fall in love with him. Like,
I did like that, like, everybody kind of came together.
Yeah, everybody kind of rallied around Michael a little bit, like, quietly. Yeah. Even Angela.
Yeah.
Was Angela...
Yeah, Angela's in it.
Well, no, I just realized, was Andy in the last one? He wasn't in the last one, was he? With the lecture circuit one. I don't think he was in that one, now that I think about it. That didn't even hit me until just now.
Yeah, no, me either. He wasn't in there.
Good.
I don't think so.
Because I haven't missed him. The fact that I didn't even realize, like, it's just like, oh, wow. It's just moved along kind of smoother.
Yeah.
Because that character's so fucking grating.
Well, I'm trying to think, like, when they did the birthday cake for Kelly, but I don't think he was there.
If he was, he was just in the background. He didn't say anything. Yeah. He had no dialogue. No,
he was probably off doing a big old movie.
Probably Hangover 2 at this point, right?
Or Hangover
3. No, Hangover, first one was like 2004, 2006. I swear to God, it's that early. I swear. You can Google that later. Yeah. But anyway,
guys. That'll
wrap up this one. What do we got next week?
Next week, we have episode 19, Golden Ticket.
Yeah.
Episode 20, New Boss.
I don't know the New Boss one until I... Watch this. But I do recall the Golden Ticket episode. So.
That's a good one. Yeah. But guys, before we wrap up, again, big thank you to Place to Be Nation for housing us for the last 7 months.
Yeesh.
And you can always, from here on out, catch us on the Jenny position over on that feed.
You can find a lot more good stuff there, too. Jenny puts out her and
a few other people. Content over there.
There's good stuff. Geek and Sassy.
Yeah.
Talking Pop, I believe, is there. Yeah.
We'll have a fuller list. We'll try to link it on our Tweeter.
Tweeter. Which, again, what is that, Mare Bear?
You can always reach out to us on the Twitter at Brosis Podcast or via email at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. Once again, guys, thanks so much for listening and sharing us around, and we'll catch you on the next one.